Welcome to part one of the Equity Guru Pure Extracts interview, where EG's own Chris Perry speaks with company CEO Ben Nikolaevsky to get a better view of Pure Extracts and where it's heading for the next 12 months. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
So welcome to the Equity Guru video chat. I'll let you introduce yourself on the other side of the camera here, Ben.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. It's Ben Nikolaevsky, CEO of Pure Extracts, located in Pemberton, BC.
Sunny Pemberton.
Yeah, so far not that sunny today, but in general, it's usually pretty sunny by Whistler.
It's not so bad. Of all the places in Canada one could be, I can think of about 99% worse places.
100%.
Let's get to that. Like, what brought the company to set up shop in Pemberton?
Sure. So Pemberton is located in what's called the Green Belt of BC. Whistler is a no marijuana / cannabis zone. Pemberton was set up the exact opposite. They were cannabis friendly when the gray market was starting up. So there's a host of different LPs that started up in the area that the township was friendly to them. Whistler Medical is right down the street from us, stone throw away. Several other large scale LPs are in the area. So we set up shop there because it was a friendly area for us. There's lots of grow around for biomass that we can convert into our oils. And we like the local aspect of BC grown, BC produced in that area. Lends itself very well to a lot of folks that are formulating and trying new things in the cannabis space in that region.
So let's go from the beginning of Pure Extracts. So for somebody who has no idea what the company does, how would you describe it?
Sure. So Pure Extracts is a plant-based extractor, really getting its roots in the gray market side of the business. We have deep roots in vapes, edibles, oil extracts, you know, going back to the legacy market. We've got formulations from around the world, the US and in Europe, to be able to provide full spectrum oil-based products for the consumer. We're also have, being a plant-based extractor, experience in the mushroom space. We're doing functional mushrooms that some of your investors may know. We'll be producing our own line of functional mushrooms from extracts versus, you know, the product set today that's on market is more of a holistic type product today. It's been around since the 60s. We're taking that to the 2.0 level of product set, extracting it, having traceability, authenticity, and dosing. So we're a plant-based extractor. We're not a cannabis or a hemp extractor. We do a host of different biomasses. And those three are our main line of business.
So I guess that gives you an ability to track several trends, not just be, I would say, tarred with the cannabis brush, as the market isn't necessarily so enthused on that, but with psychedelics coming along, you're ready to board that train. I would imagine also that the plant-based foods movement, that there's some opportunities there for you as well going forward. Being an extractor doesn't necessarily have to make you a cannabis company these days.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And that's why when we talk about Pure, we're a plant-based extractor. That's really where we excel. When you talk about functional mushrooms and psychedelic, you're 100% on point for our business. We are the commercialization agent for functional mushrooms and eventually psilocybin as it becomes legal. We've partnered up with Transpharma. It's a large research group out of Toronto. Dr. McGregor leads that group. They have a narcotics license. They're doing research in the psilocybin area in Jamaica. So we will be able to manufacture psilocybin once we have our narcotics license. We are applying for our site license for natural products to be able to produce functional mushrooms. And as you said, you know, as things evolve from a food-based product, we can produce those oils set also with our CO2 equipment. We have, you know, several large extractors in the CO2 realm and ethanol from that perspective.
So there have been plenty of companies that dabble in extractions, or companies that I guess have a room in the back where there's an extraction machine.
Yeah.
What separates you from the guys with the machines that go deep?
Absolutely. So we were one of the first companies that developed the CO2 manufacturing process. We were one of the first companies that had a Vitalis extractor. We developed with Vitalis the Q90, so back in the heyday. So we've been hardcore extractors since the onset of really extracting product from a CO2 perspective. We have very strong extractor personnel on staff. Our COO, Doug Benville, has been in the extraction business for 10 years. His staff also are hardcore extractors. That's all we do. And my management team comes from the cannabis background. We ran and sold a company called Natura Naturals. It was a large-scale cultivator that was located in Leamington, Ontario, a 700,000 square foot facility. We sold that to Tilray a year and a half ago. So a successful exit from that. And we had obviously extraction experience from that transaction. So our folks are hardcore extractors. We don't dabble in different areas. We're just about extraction.
So being a better extractor, I guess, as companies realize that doing it themselves might be a bit more difficult or costly than they assumed, you will start to pick up a lot of white label work. Discuss, if you can, how that looks at the moment. Like, how many deals are in process for you, not to necessarily set up your own brands, but to enhance other people?
Sure. So we have a couple of different business lines when it comes to white labeling and or tolling. So the first part of our business is tolling, where we take in other products from LPs, run it, and then return it to them at a fee-based. Still a very lucrative business from that perspective. A little bit of price pressure in the market. We're getting a lot of folks that are entering the 2.0 market that need oil-based product returned to them. So that's a good base. We have two very, very significant contracts for tolling that will start in November as we gear up production. And then on a white labeling perspective, we're working with several of the large LPs to launch vape programs and a gummy program for them, white labeling that product for them. We have 34 different oil varieties in our vault that we've created and or acquired for full spectrum and distillate product. So for us, when a client comes to us and says, we want to launch a vape program with this kind of terpene profile, we don't have a science project we have to do. We reach into the vault. We would probably have something that would probably meet their criteria very quickly. So obviously we know how to fill. We have a mechanized filling line for vape cartridges and tinctures. So we're able to execute very quickly. We've done it before in the gray market previously. Our folks have executed in the gray market. Obviously we're now licensed and we're compliant to Health Canada, but we can execute very quickly for our customers without significant risk. And I think that's a little bit of a difference with us is it's not our first foyer. We're not starting up the equipment and seeing how it kind of works out for us. We know how the equipment works. You know, Doug and his team have produced several thousand units a month in that realm. So we have very little startup risk and our management team is very seasoned in large scale CPG production.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast with your host, Chris Perry.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
So as we get through regulation in more and more parts of North America and the world, and cannabis byproducts become more acceptable in a variety of different consumer packaged goods, this is definitely a growth business that could lend itself far beyond just the cannabis market, far beyond in the mushroom market. You know, when Wonder Bread decides to put out a CBD variety, there's some very big scaling opportunities. Is your company scalable in that respect? If someone came along with a big fat order and said, I need a lot more than you can do, how quickly can you stand that up?
Very quickly. We have the ability to scale the business very quickly. We have large scale extractors on site that we're not fully utilizing yet. We can definitely add to that. We have a Q90 and R200, which are pretty large scale machineries for extraction. We have the space to be able to continue to expand the facility with 10,000 square feet. We have the ability to expand it to 25,000 square feet as needed. We'll add that CapEx if we land one of those big orders. And we're working on some international sales for CBD. It's funny you say that as we speak right now. And that's really, you know, from a growth perspective, the UK is where we're in discussions at this point, looking to provide CBD into the novelty food area. It's a little less regulated than some of the other markets for CBD. So we're quite excited about the international markets.
So explain, if you could, like the decision to just go straight into extractions and not necessarily to be a licensed producer, or I'm guessing you're putting your own brands out there, but having had some gray market experience, but you know, you're aware as much as anyone is that standing up your own brands and marketing them properly in a country that doesn't allow marketing of brands is a pretty tough business. Was from the beginning, was extractions the thing, or did you pivot along the way to get to this place?
Well, we were 100% always extractors. We had the benefit of the gray market business in it from extraction perspective, some of our management team. So we know what sells and what doesn't sell in the market. We were flower sellers previously in Natura. We were a large scale grower and seller ultimately to the provinces for our product that Tilray bought. So we understood the cannabis market and CBD market from dry flower perspective, and also the extraction part. The extraction part of the business with the 2.0 products that are out today, the gummies, the vapes, the other chocolates, drinks, whatever the case may be, is where the growth engine of the business is today. And you have to be in extraction to be able to continue to grow your business. That's where the exciting part of the CBG part of the business is. Mm-hmm. And you know, we had a couple of forays into different CPG branding myself. You know, I ran a company called Blue Goose, which is a large organic beef, chicken, and fish brand. My head of sales, Andy Gravine, had 20 years at Moosehead Beer. So we know the CPG market very, very well. So obviously marketing a cannabis brand is somewhat difficult, but we have the tools and the management team to be able to bring our brand to market and be able to penetrate that quite well.
Are you seeing any, in the Canadian landscape anyway, any brands that are actually sticking their head above water other than the ones that have just flooded the market with SKUs? Like I don't know how much brand loyalty there really is in the space just yet.
You know what, there's not a whole lot. We are starting to see a little bit, you know, we're seeing people that have developed a good products, that are getting repeatable sales, are on shelf, you know, across the provinces. So we are getting to see a little brand loyalty in certain segments. In the drink segments, it's come out fairly quickly for sure, because some of the drinks are really good and some of them are not so good. So yeah. The taste profile, if you have a bad experience on some cannabis, yeah, you may or may not try it. If you have a bad drink, you're going to remember that taste in your mouth, for lack of a better word. So yep. The edible market, the branding is coming quicker because of the relationship. You said you remember in your mind saying, oh, I ate that or drank that, it was pretty good, or you vape that, versus flower, smokable, you know, maybe you didn't like the profile so much, but it doesn't stick out in your mind as well as a human being. So we are starting to see some penetration in the market. Obviously, it's not as readily available for branding as the US, where you can actually do some advertising and some brand ambassadors and whatnot. But we are starting to see, you know, some folks come to the head of the class, and we believe that our products will be right there with them.
You know, I think you're in the right space, just by virtue of like any dinner party or barbecue I've been through over the last few months, people tend to not be bringing bottles of no one's bringing a sassy red, they're bringing the edibles. A crowd of a certain age has started to move into that space. We've long talked about the potential for going recreational edibles and into more of a making CBDs and beyond an element of ongoing regular packaged goods that don't necessarily have a cannabis leaf on them. Being at the extraction level, are you starting to hear legacy corporations that don't have anything to do with cannabis starting to knock on your door and ask what can be done with their existing product?
There's definitely desire by a segment of the CBG population that wants to move into the CBD realm or the CBD-like realm. Yep. The regulations in Canada, there was a working paper to take CBD out of the cannabis stores and put them into over-the-counter type delivery methodology. That still is in discussion. COVID obviously slowed that because of the need for Health Canada to focus on COVID. So I think it's going to be a little while for that. There's definitely a desire to put CBD in a host of CBG products that don't have any or zero THC in them. So we've definitely had those discussions. It's a work in progress as the federal government will move the product from the cannabis stores to mainstream retail. It happened in the U.S. to some extent under the Farm Act with hemp, where it got more accessible in the health food stores and whatnot. The execution was a bit tough, but we will move to that model at some point in Canada. It'll be a work in progress. I don't see that happening for the next 2 years probably.
So let's talk briefly about shrooms. There's obviously a lot of companies that are trying to find a method of jimmying mushrooms and psychedelics into their existing business models or into their mining shells or into their CPCs, whatever they've got. I know that the extracting the good stuff out of cannabis, extracting good stuff out of mushrooms are not extremely dissimilar processes. For that matter, extracting out of any sort of plants that have positive elements to them. What is the reality of there being a real business in the legal mushroom side as opposed to the currently illegal? Can you really make a business out of just the functional mushroom space as things stand?
Absolutely. If you look at the functional mushroom, if you walk into your local GNC store or your vitamin store, there's a wall of functional mushrooms today. They're old school, from the 60s, 70s kind of formulation, but they're good selling SKUs. They've been there forever. And if they didn't sell, they wouldn't be on shelf, right? So there's definitely a business that revolves around functional mushrooms. And that part of the business is growing by leaps and bounds. And us having to or being able to upgrade that product to give a better customer experience on dosing, traceability, and or additional benefits through botanicals and possibly CBD at some point to upgrade that product is a real business model. It will take some time to develop, absolutely, from that perspective, but it is it's a real business when you look at the amount of penetration you're seeing at your GNC. Even look at your Instagram feed, there's turkey tail, lion's mane being infused into almost everything today. I equate it to the CBD fad of 5 years ago when we took CBD as the be all of end all. The mushroom set, has the same or similar properties as some of the traits that CBD has. And I can tell you that very large companies are taking a real look at functional mushrooms to add it to their list of products that they're going to be, infusing them with. So it's here to stay. There's a real business to be had. There's lots of folks that are trying to make a business, as you say, and haven't figured that out. The nice thing about us is they come to people like us to help them figure it out. We will be there, effectively their commercialization or co-packers to help bring that product to market. And that's, something that, is in our core business being a white label producer and a white label for mushroom-based products. Psilocybin is a different kettle of fish. So that is a long-term play in Canada. The benefits from a medical perspective are massive. We definitely see that as one of the super drugs of 2021 as Canada legalizes to some extent the use of psilocybin for PTSD, depression, and things of that nature. We've seen some of the research methodologies out there, and it's quite outstanding on what it can do for the human mind. For the folks that say, you know, in a year they're going to be mass producing psilocybin and selling it, I don't think that's realistic, right? So we see a lot of that. But the way that we look at the market is we're in the functional space. We'll be producing that. We know how to extract from a mushroom-based plant. And as psilocybin continues to grow and the prescription model continues to grow from the clinics, we'll be one of the extractors that will be producing that on a commercialization scale.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.